Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, I'm Eric Eastup.
And I'm Scott Reevely.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Welcome back, listeners. Welcome back, Scott. Scott, what's going on?
Well, Eric, we've been watching the Olympics. In fact, one of our biggest problems this week is that the bulb in our projector blew out. And we had to finish watching the Olympics a different way.
Just on a single phone or something?
It's kind of like a... Yeah, my iPad actually is how we're doing it, but it is kind of a first world problem, isn't it, to not have your projector in your home theater situation.
Yeah.
It's like, that's terrible. But
I've been doing the same thing. In fact, I'm probably a little more tired than normal because...
Have you been staying up?
Yes, I've been staying up watching the Olympics. It's fantastic. I love it. But it raises a question. Let me explain how much I love it. I love watching the Olympics. I love watching the races, specifically swimming. I swam in high school, so I'm really into that. And I find myself cheering on the screen quite loudly because I remember how to cheer at swim meets. So I'm screaming at the...
You have to scream loud at swim meets because you're underwater, right?
Right. Yeah. And you're just go, go, go. And almost every time I'm getting so loud and so excited, my boys are telling me, you need to be quiet. You need to calm down. and then they'll ask me, whatever event we're watching, who do we root for? And who do I point out? I look for the American flag and I say, that's who we want to win right there. Doesn't matter what the event is. Doesn't matter what the competition is.
Wow.
And so they're always looking for the flag and then rooting for and doing the little chants they're hearing. Because they'll hear it on the screen, and then they go, "USA, USA," in a much calmer tone than I would normally do. But that raises the question:
should you be doing that?
Am I raising my kids well?
You are discipling your kids in a certain way. There's no question, isn't there?
Is it okay that we are rooting for the USA, Scott? Is it good that I'm encouraging?
Why? Do you like have a nagging guilt complex in the back of your brain or something? I mean, what is making you even ask that question?
Oh, that's a good question. Before we had the idea for this podcast, I would say, no, I didn't. And then we started working through it. And then I thought,
it's like,
maybe
I'm feeling
maybe
more and
I
more
do.
Guilty all the time. Oh dear. Well, what is it then that you would be guilty of?
I think you could potentially be guilty of misattributed affection.
Okay,
loving something too much or putting, yeah, that's probably the best way to say that. Loving something too much or in an inappropriate way.
Okay. And you could do that. You're worried that you're doing
that's
that.
That's not a unique Olympic thing, a watching Olympics thing. That's a anytime thing.
Except the thing that makes this something that we might talk about on City on a Hill is the fact that the Olympics are a national event and therefore, you know, kind of crosses in and out of the boundaries of the things that we talk about here as far as nation and politics and church and things. Because it does. It crosses in and out of the boundaries because I'm sure there are Christians from other countries competing and I'm sure that there are, you know, non-Christians from America competing. And I'm sure that you root for them all the same.
That's not true.
Okay. So this is a counseling session that we're going to
have on here. I don't know how this is going to go. Well, and I think the Olympics, talking about politics and those different things, I think the Olympics is... Watching the Olympics is one of the opportunities we have, one of the best opportunities we have to have a good patriotism. There's an opportunity to be patriotic in the best sense. There's also an opportunity to be patriotic in a sense that places my loves in a way that is too much in and elevates something that shouldn't be elevated as much as we elevate it. Like anything, you could make You could make your country, or you could make your team, or whatever. You can make it an idol and love it more than it ought to be loved. But I think the Olympics gives you at least that temptation is in play. Okay. You're watching Olympics.
Well, at least how do I at least acknowledge this? That we're tempted? Is that what you're saying?
That's fine.
Whether we cross a line or not, we mm-hmm. won't maybe say. But
that's why the question's there.
Okay. When you say patriotic, what do you mean? It gives us a chance to be patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
What when you're talking about that? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I think that is a love. We would start with a love of country. I'd probably make it a little simpler and just say love of home. I like the way C.S. Lewis brought it up in his book, The Four Loves. He works through the different Greek words for love that are in Scripture, and one of them is storge, which is just an affection. And he describes the love that you would have for your home for what is familiar.
Okay.
And I think in its best form, that a patriotism is a love of your home or a love of your country, because this is where I live. These are the people I interact with. This is the language I understand, or the way you hear language, even in different regions, things like that. Just the things you're familiar with. I love this place. It's where I grow up. It's where I live. It is my home. So I'm going to love it. And I think that's a good patriotism. I think you can do more with that than that, but I think that's an appropriate love.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you for that. So, you're worried that you're loving this too much. That's that.
I'm just getting pegged with all this stuff.
That's how I'm understanding your concern here, right?
Potentially.
Well, I hope, you know, so we're going to worry about Eric as we go through the podcast. But this episode is an invitation for us to be thoughtful about what is happening in your heart
mm-hmm.
when you do something as simple as turn on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something as purposeful as watching your country compete against other nations or something to that effect. But in other words, this seems like kind of a small thing, really. I mean, who wins has zero implications for my life.
Mm.
In some respect, it's helpful to talk about a low stakes thing. I mean, if we were talking about rooting in the war,
right,
then it would be a high stakes thing. Or it's probably even higher stakes thing if we actually get into politics and start talking mm-hmm. about who's going to win an election. That
right.
And that's probably higher stakes than this. This is about as low stakes for the spectator anyway
mm-hmm.
as we could have. So. It's probably worth talking about because it's kind of safe ground in that regard.
Right. We're at low risk right now, but the same metrics are in play with bigger risk things.
I will say one thing about this. It's been interesting to me to see the advertising that they've done. Who's doing it there? NBC might be doing it, but I forgot the company that's doing, which makes it interesting advertising, doesn't it? If you forget the company that's doing it.
That's called failure in advertising right there.
Well, it'll come on again and I'll remember them next time, but they're advertising joy. Mm. They just say, and there's songs about joy and people having, you know, mm-hmm. winning and different things like that.
Is it Toyota?
I think several companies. The reason I can't remember, yeah. I think there's three or four mm-hmm. that are on this theme. And I just remember one of the commentators when the U.S. won bronze in men's team gymnastics, saying, I hope everybody gets a moment of joy like these young men are having right now.
Mm.
And I thought, that's really, you know, it's low stakes because I'm not going to get that kind of joy from watching
mm-hmm.
as I do from giving my life to it for years and mm-hmm. then having some level of success.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's low stakes to watch, but nonetheless, I think vicariously you do adopt some level of from joy from other people's joy. Joy is contagious in that regard,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
So my confession on this, you know, Olympic thing is I'm not as big a rooter as you, and you know, I enjoy I enjoy good athletic competition. In fact, mm-hmm. one of the first things we saw was the U.S. women's volleyball team played the Chinese volleyball team. U.S. won gold last time. China won it the time before. So the last two gold medals, and they ended up playing in the very first game of the tournament, which is, you know, weird seating, I guess. But it was outstanding volleyball. Loved it because I used to coach volleyball. And but then it gets down to, well, it's, we turn it on and the Chinese are up 2-0. And then the West, then the U.S. won the next game. Then they won the next game when it went to 5. And it came down, it came down to 15-13 in the last thing, and the U.S. lost. And my first thing was, wasn't, you know, I mean, I don't know how patriotic it was. But I did think, just don't show me. I mean, if the U.S. is going to lose, don't even put it on, all right? Well, let's not start the Olympics that way.
That's pretty patriotic, Scott.
Well, I didn't think it was patriotic.
I don't want to see the losing. Just show me the winning.
That's right. Because I just like the winning.
Yeah.
That's the Nike commercial.
Oh, yeah. Winning isn't for everyone.
Yes. That's the Nike commercial. So anyway, sorry about that. But I did have a moment. I've since recovered. I don't think the volleyball team's lost since then, so I've recovered. I got lots of questions about this, see, because some of your affection, is there any sense in which you, I mean, there's a lot of pressure to vote like a Christian, right? Is there a way to watch the Olympics as a Christian? I mean, are you... like, do you root for Christian athletes that you know? They, you know, somebody crosses the finish line and they say, you know, God carried me along. Does that help you, or only if they're...
I'm torn on this question because you end up watching so much U.S. Like, I only know of the ones who talk that way who are U.S. athletes. But that does raise at least an interesting observation. Like, okay, wait, where is my citizenship? Which home do I love most? And sometimes there are ways Christians can do that. That's really good. And like, oh, you actually mean this. And there are others that will bring it up. And it's like, it'd be better if you just didn't say anything. Like, don't talk about that. But when I do hear them, because I'm generally not watching sports from a I wonder what the religion of this guy is, or I wonder what the spirituality of this gal is.
You don't. Okay.
But when I do hear someone bring something up or talk about their faith, it does just kind of remind me. Okay, yeah. That if they love Jesus the way I love Jesus, we are of the same home together. We've not been to that home yet, but it's almost like a different patriotism that's not on display necessarily at the Olympics, but it kind of pings for me every once in a while. And I think that's interesting. But no, I'm not looking around, where's my list of Christian athletes, and I want them to win.
Because you can find that list sometimes, in a athlete magazine or whatever. They do have some, sometimes they have that. And, you know, some of it is, I think you're right, to I don't know, identify or wonder, I mean, is this a genuine thing for them? In part because you've got to give your life to an idol to get to that level. At some point, you've got to give your life to an idol. And that's, I mean, I think that's one of the things that I, as an old man now, I don't watch the Olympics like I did when I was young. I mean, for me, it was very much an idolatry because, you know, heavens, I wanted to compete there. I went to Olympic trials even, and that was part of the dream. And so it held an allure to me, or a promise of a future that it never delivered on. And all I got was 10 knee surgeries from it. And so it's hard for me to, you know, I enjoy a good athletic competition, but it's hard for me to separate that from the idolatry that was in my own heart for a long, long time. And so that that's more an idolatry of sport than it is an idolatry of U.S., which is a different question than you're asking,
sure,
I think.
Sure.
But nonetheless, it's why we're talking about this, because it's...
And why you keep bringing up enjoying watching competitive sport.
A good athletic competition, yeah.
In action, yeah.
Because it really is, you know, it's, we said that this episode is just an opportunity to, or an invitation to be thoughtful about what's happening in your heart. And that's the thing for me, it is that there is this, you know, sort of this bruise, you might say, even in my heart, that said this idol does not deliver on his promises. Mm. And you see the joy and you think, yeah, and then what?
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. Not the, and then what is a, it's a hard road for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And especially if you didn't win, if you didn't be the person in the commercial, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that reminds me, speaking of Christian athletes, it reminds me of Scottie Scheffler, who just won a gold medal at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And of the Christian responses to athletic questions, I've enjoyed his the most, for sure. But they asked him after he got a gold medal, hey, do you ever think about legacy and how does this add into your legacy and things like that? No, not really. What do you mean? Oh, I'm going to be forgotten in 30 years. I just like competing and it doesn't really matter. That was kind of his answer. And I thought, okay, that of the answers, that lends itself more to I'm connected to Jesus and that's where my identity lies. And this is something I enjoy doing. I don't know his relationship to the sport or how invested he is, but that was one where I thought, oh, that is different than you normally hear. Like usually the answer to that question is, oh, this is everything.
Right.
What does this mean to you? This is everything. Yeah. And to hear something a little bit different, especially from a gold medal winner, like, oh, okay, that's something to take note.
Well, it just reminds me of the text I'm preaching on this Sunday, that not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. And that's, you know, as a Christian, that's really kind of got to be the anchor, but it's not necessarily for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, one of my questions for you, I guess, was, do you root for the American if they're arrogant and boastful?
Mm.
If, you know, like, you know, you're super excited because they're American and they're winning, or they do this nice story on them and then, and then they turn out to be, I don't know.
Yeah, well, and this, we can just keep it confession time. That's fine. I was actively working through that because it was, I'll call them out. Why not? I was they set up for the 100-meter run, and USA Noah Lyles won by, I don't know what it was, 1,000th of a second or something really ridiculous.
Short, yeah.
And then he did his interview and his response to all that, and it was just incredibly cocky and incredibly selfish or arrogant. And part of me, oh, sweet, the U.S. won. We got another gold medal. And then, oh, I don't like that at all. Those are not characteristics that I want to encourage or want to emulate, or they don't match the kingdom characteristics at all. And one of my initial, because my wife said, I hate these. I don't like that. She didn't say hate. I don't like how these runners are so cocky. And my initial response was, well, I think especially for the 100 and the 200, I think they almost have to be cocky to be that competitive. And then like, wait, what am I saying? This is ridiculous. No, that you're right. That is not, those are not characteristics we want to encourage. And then I saw other runners run the same type of race and just be full of gratitude and full of humility. Like, oh yeah, there is a better way to do this. This is not required. But I thought it was interesting for me to have a reflexive
defense
yeah. of, well, it's Team USA, you know? And that's the whole point of this episode is to allow some of those questions to kind of come to the forefront so we all have to work through them.
I thought it was to counsel you, but that's okay.
I'm trying to divert it away from both.
It's kind of both. No. Yeah, I think that's right. And the reality is, so this comes up. We talk here about church and politics. I mean, that particular thing, that comes up in politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly with our presidential candidate, you know. Mm-hmm. Candidates, I'll say candidates. There's,
sure.
It's one predominantly tends that direction, and it's just like, how does that square with my kingdom values? Mm-hmm. And especially if you know, I don't have to vote for anybody in the 100 meters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to endorse anybody in 100 meters. And nobody makes me promises in 100 meters that, hey, right. I'm going to represent, you know, Jesus.
Right.
But you get those promises and you do, it does require your vote or your endorsement. And then, you know, you still are struggling. You still have to struggle with, do I just look mm-hmm. the other way? How do I deal with that?
Well, and what I like about these 2 weeks is it's low risk, but it still is engaging the same love of that patriotism. And it's a good little reminder for me, because it's low risk, when I have that that reflexive defense, I can go, oh, wait, that was the wrong response. I need to make sure I'm aware of that, because that may come up again somewhere else.
I don't want to have that when the stakes are higher.
Right. And this, in the Olympics is a little door where you can, oh, I can go through that door and engage patriotism in a particular way and elevate my love of home and love of country in a way that has me reflexively defending anything and everything about it. And that's dangerous. And mm-hmm. the Olympics give you a low risk opportunity to, okay, where does my heart go? What are my responses? And you can check them and then set yourself up for successful responses later mm-hmm. when the risk is more.
Well, good. I should ask you this. What's been your favorite thing so far? Your favorite event or your favorite victory or your most thrilling USA moment? Because it's not going to be for somebody else, which is a complicated question, because one of the most impressive things, for instance, was the pole vaulter who set a world record, and he didn't have to even jump because he'd already won the thing,
right.
but jumped for a world record. And the guy was born in the United States, and he graduated from LSU, and he's competing, what, for Sweden?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you even enjoy that?
Anyway, I think your patriotism is showing.
I actually enjoyed it very much.
I think that watching the 1500, men's 1500 in the track and field was just thrilling to watch. And partly, we were talking about characteristics, partly because the guy who was the most arrogant.
Who was favored, who won it last time. He won it last time.
Didn't even medal. And you had these people that were two USA guys that were trying to position and get in the right spot and look for their angle. And finally, spoilers if you haven't seen this, but whatever. This is a late podcast.
The Olympics will be over by the time you will listen to this. So.
But seeing the characteristic, I don't want to encourage or emulate, not succeed.
Be crushed.
And then two people from the USA win. I thought that was a thrilling event to watch for sure. And then probably the swimming relays are always super fun to watch. So I'm a big fan of that. But there's my favorite thus far. It's not over. We're still watching.
The there were several things. So I've kind of expressed my things, not so much the patriotism as it is the idolatry. There was a wrestler, I saw his match yesterday, who won a fifth gold medal.
He's 41,
right? 41. He's more than half his life ago, he won a gold medal.
That's incredible.
And it was incredible. I mean, it was really.
And then basically retired on the spot, right?
Yeah.
He put his shoes on the mat.
I didn't see the end of it, but he had said ahead of time he was going to retire. Mm-hmm. But that was impressive. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't American. See, neither was the pole vaulter. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know about the pole vaulter. The Ukrainian high jumper wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting thing. I mean, do you root for Ukraine?
Well, so my rule of thumb is if the USA isn't even competitive, we're not going to be there. I want to look for the best story.
I think we got second.
Well, I really only saw that story because I wasn't paying attention to the high jump. But that was, so we're talking about politics. We're talking about.
Or third. I guess we got third. Sorry.
Athletics and all those things. And we were kind of downplaying, well, the Olympics it's national. It's not necessarily political. But I'd say there is actually a significant amount of geopolitical things going on in the Olympics, and that's one of them. The Ukrainian high jumper, I think world record holder as well, winning in this event that the Russians are not even allowed to be in because there's these political things that Russia has invaded and they're at war with Ukraine. So her victory became even more significant. And that was really compelling and just fascinating to think about. And then the Ukrainian fencers, the same thing. And they even dedicated, like, this win is for our fellow countrymen who couldn't be here because they are in the war or died,
right?
And they couldn't be here at all. So there's just this, again, it's like, we think it's low risk, but it's strumming the same chords.
It is for us, but it isn't for everybody.
Right.
You know, and that's, so one of the, I think I told you, but one of the most, probably the most interesting, maybe the only, but paper I wrote as an undergraduate was about the use of sports and politics. Because when I was growing up, that was a big deal. There was a terrorist attack that, and I forget which exact years it was, but I think that was like 76, when they, when people, I don't even remember what organization came in, killed Israeli athletes. And then, was it the next time in 80 when we boycotted the Olympics? And then I think the next time Russia boycotted. So anyway, I mean, there's nations using sport as this, making statements and all these things. Mm-hmm. And that was my favorite paper I ever wrote, actually, is certainly as an undergrad. But it was, that is a thing. And so you're right about that. And in some respect, it's sad because it takes away from the joy and it takes away from the, you know, that it's a little bit like doping, I suppose. You don't get the clean, you know, athletic competition. You just get some variation of, I don't know, people using sport for something other than what it's designed for. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's probably more than you want to know.
What other counseling questions do you have if this is a counseling session?
Okay, well, I'm wondering just what cautions you might have for people when they're rooting for their country. Or, well, let me say it this way. You're rooting for a country. You've already said this patriotism big for you. Is that different? Is that different than rooting for the Blazers or for your high school football team? Or in some regard, is it different? Or is it, how is it different? How is it the same?
Well, that's interesting. I think they could be similar in describing the idols that you were describing. If you were using these things as an idol, it doesn't matter if it's the Blazers or if it's the U.S.
Oh, it
team.
Can be your kid's T-ball team, it can be for sure.
Your kid's T-ball team, for sure. It's and the problem comes when it's misplaced love. That's what I want to get.
That's kind of your bottom line?
That's the point, yeah.
Okay.
Because I think if you love something to the appropriate degree, which could be like should be small sometimes, then that's fine. You can enjoy watching the Blazers. I have friends that tell me I was trying to defend the Blazers watching. I don't watch the Blazers, but they do. And I was trying to defend, it's okay to watch excellence in sports and kind of going down the athletic competition route that you were going. And they pushed back on me like, no, I don't think I should love watching the Blazers as much as I do. Kind of like, actually, this might be an idol for me. Like,
so they're having the same, for the Blazers, they're having sort of the same pang of conscience that you're having for the U.S. here in the Olympics.
Yeah, so I think that the same opportunity presents itself whenever you're watching a team with which you identify.
Well,
and that's the question.
It's the identity question.
Right.
It's
how do you identify with them?
Right.
And if they are, if the Blazers are, this is my team. If they go down, I go down. If they're doing well, I'm doing well. My well-being and my emotional state is wrapped up in their success. That's, you have too much love attributed to that team.
Well, again, I mean, there's quite a bit of discipleship in this very discussion because identity is at the heart of, it's really at the heart of what it means to be a Christian is to identify with Christ. That's what baptism is about. You're baptized to identify with Christ. You join a church to identify with Christ. Part of what faith does is it unites you with Christ. And so you've got all of this happening as a Christian, and then unchecked, you elect to identify with lesser things. And it can be, you know, it can be anything. It can it can be a brand loyalty. I'm only, you know, I only use Apple products or whatever. And you can pick whatever it is that you, it's going to identify you. And you have then a spiritual problem when your identity is tied up in lesser things. So you're saying in that regard, you're rooting for the U.S. is like your friends rooting for the Blazers. So now you're putting the guilt off on your off on your friends is what you're doing.
I think the opportunity is the same.
Okay. Is there one of my questions is, chapter and verse? Is there a chapter and verse like maybe about favoritism or about partiality here? That
why don't you read a verse, Scott? You queuing that up?
Well, I mean, there's lots of verses. First of all, God's not partial.
Right.
I mean, so imagine that. God doesn't care if the U.S. wins, Eric. You just need to take a breath, take a breath and realize that, right? But no, I'm just thinking of like James 2. In James chapter 2, you've got a rich man comes into church and a poor man, and they say, you know, rich man, you sit in a good spot. Poor man, you don't sit. And then it says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show partiality, you're committing sin and convicted by the law's transgressors. Are you showing partiality by rooting for the U.S.?
As in all things, I think it's good to ask a question of that. In what way are you showing partiality? I think in James 2 and in Romans 2, which you quoted about God not showing partiality, that's Romans is in regard to the law, Jew or Greek, God shows no partiality. And in James, you have, there's the law there as well, and then talking about the gospel or connected to the gospel. And we shouldn't show partiality in, okay, who gets connection to Jesus, or who is judged by the law and who can be rescued from the law? The good news of the gospel is that there's no partiality. That's awesome. I think that is different than saying, I'm watching a competition and I'd like one of these to win. But the question I should be asking myself is my desire for this one team to win such that I am jettisoning my love for neighbor? And that I think is the question I should ask myself. Listener, you should ask yourself, do I want the other team to lose more than I want my own team to win, essentially? And does my excitement about watching this mean that I don't love my neighbors, even though they're on a screen, even though I'll never meet them, they're still my neighbors. And if my love of watching a team is such that now I am denigrating or looking down on others, like I'm not loving my neighbor, I'm doing something incorrect. I have changed my loves in such a way that they need to be modified.
Okay. What about, I mean, if you root for somebody because they have red, white, and blue on, that's one thing. Okay, that's their uniform. What if they're an attractive person? What if they have a beautiful smile? What if they, you know, are graceful? What if they are enthusiastic? And you're rooting for a person based on their personal characteristics, not on the color of their uniform. Is that different?
I think it's different, but okay. I think the opportunity remains the same. It just depends on what you do with that. If you're observing something like, I watch golf. That's the thing I watch generally, unless the Olympics are on. There are some people that just do that thing so well, and it's just enjoyable to watch them, almost like watching some art. Or looking at art, like, wow, they do that. I can't even do what they do. And they're, it's excellence
personified. So you really like the artistic swimming.
No.
Because you're a swimmer and it's art, right?
No. Just so fast. So I think there's, And like anything, I could take art and make it my idol, and I'm going to worship art instead of the God who gave us the ability to make art. And it just depends on what you do with that thing. If you enjoy looking at excellence or observing the good, the beautiful, and the true, you can elevate the good, the beautiful, and the true above God in the way you give it affection. And that's where the danger lies.
Okay. Well, yeah, that you've for a counseling session, you've handled most of my questions pretty well here.
Interrogation, more like.
Oh, really? Well, seriously, though, talking about it like this, I do hope it's helpful to other people. I mean, surely. Well, so here's two things. I mean, I was going to say surely other people have this problem too, but maybe, and this would be the best outcome, is that people have this problem and didn't know until they heard me grill. Yep. Until they heard me grill you, right? Or and maybe they'll just stop and think about how their affections, how their identity gets wrapped up in lesser things, and even in good things. See, I think that's one of the things that's hardest. I think for me, it's one of the harder things to pastor. As a pastor in a congregation, there are a lot of people who do good things and love good things, and you know, there's probably a line somewhere where you love good things too much, or you cross a line where your identity's tied up in this good thing, and that line is hard to find. Mm. And so hopefully this episode has been useful in at least helping people look for the line. Maybe maybe you've even been looking on the wrong side. Like, I think it's over here I'm on the good side, and I've already crossed over the line. It's on the other side.
I'm dancing on the wrong side of the street.
Yeah. So it might be that just the kind of thing that thinking in terms of my identity, thinking in terms of what I love, that would give me kind of pause to try and keep other things besides the Olympics in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's good.
I'm good.
Let's call this counseling session over.
Please.
Well, for future potential counseling sessions with Eric, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and rate us. If you find what we're doing helpful, a review goes a long way to getting this to other people. And share it with a friend. If you have questions, send them to comment@cityonahillpodcast.com. And we look forward to the next conversation.